Hello, it's Steve. We've got Colleen on the podcast today, representing Austria with We Will Rave. I went to meet her at somewhere that is the opposite of Eurovision glamour. So it was an industrial estate on the outskirts of London, next to this busy road, cold, wet, grey, windy, literally everything that Eurovision is not. But it was a dance studio where she was beginning the staging and the choreo for Malmö. And she invited me to go and meet her to have a look at what she was doing. So it was more glamorous inside, but we will get to that in just a moment. Before that, some big bits of Eurovision news, because number one, we've got all the artists for this year's contest. Number two, we know that Sweden will open the grand final because they've been drawn in that number one position. Marcus and Martinus singing Unforgettable. And three, we are getting full performances from the Big Five and the hosts, Sweden, in the semi-finals. So they still qualify automatically for the grand final, but it means they get a chance to show their whole song to the audiences in the semi-finals. A big change, big development. Anyway, back to today. It's time to go and meet Colleen. Please welcome to the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast. It is representing Austria,
Colleen.
Colleen is here. We Will Rave. This is a really important day for you because this is the start of your choreo journey for Malmö.
Yeah, totally. I'm really excited to meet the team, to meet everyone, to feel the vibes. Yeah, they will be my family until the 11th of May, and maybe who knows what's going to happen after that.
Your family forever, till the end of time.
Yes, totally, definitely.
How are you feeling? The music video came out. Everyone went crazy for it.
I've been so excited for it to see the light of day, for it to be released into the world.
There was lots of Queen and Mother, and Queen has arrived. Mother is getting her car repaired at the sexiest garage in the world.
Yes, I know the place. Just let me know if you need your car repaired. I'll make your appointment.
There is a big donk on We Will Rave, isn't there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
The donk is huge.
Yes. Just feeling so much positivity, and I'm so proud of this thing for me, because it's such a huge dream of mine coming true, and a feeling that so many people can feel something while listening to the song or also watching the music video. I couldn't have imagined it in a better way.
Did you want to create something that you just knew everybody in the arena is going to be going crazy to?
I do think that is maybe, or it's my best approach to go to Eurovision. That's what I wanted my song to have. That moment of starting slower, where you don't know, is it going to be a ballad? Is it going to be, what is it going to be? It's mysterious. And then that moment where the beat kicks in.
The donk.
Exactly. where people are clapping, or that's just how I imagine it to be. Like, there's this sound in the arena that just gives you goosebumps when you hear it. Oh, now we can jump, now we can scream, now we can clap. And I really wanted that in my song.
So you're calling your fans ravers. How much of a raver are you?
Well, I do feel like there are different definitions of ravers, yeah. Because if you translate it directly into German, what I try to do, it's not that elegant, because it's just a party thing, a party moment. And I think if you take it from that approach, party moment, having fun with your friends, with a great community, getting lost in the moment, then I'm definitely a raver. I do enjoy that. And I think we need to do that more often, because you just get caught up in everyday life and maybe in struggles and problems way too much. So why not rave every now and then?
So how much fun was making the video? Because it looks great.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. But to be honest, the only thing that I remember about that day, or the biggest thing I remember, is that it was super cold. I was freezing so much the entire day. I mean, then, of course, there were moments where you were not freezing as much. but in the end, I was so much looking forward to that hot shower, because although it was in LA, you'd imagine sun, nice weather, even in winter, but it was so cold. It was colder than in Austria at that time. It was raining. It fit the atmosphere perfectly, but it was very cold.
So it was LA.
It was LA. Yeah, you can't really see it. It could have been anywhere, but it was LA. Yeah.
The poor guys that basically had no clothes on, just making them freeze.
Yeah, actually, I do remember moments where I was just talking to them and I could just see them being very polite, standing there listening to me. You could see all of their muscles popping because they were just freezing so much. It was hilarious. Yeah.
You have a long history with Eurovision, don't you? And for people listening, they love to find out this information, but you've been, fair to say, like behind the scenes at Eurovision, right? So can you explain what you've done previously?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so my Eurovision life has already went on for quite some years. The first Eurovision that I was working in was 2018 in Lisbon. I was a stand-in there for, I think, 6-7 countries or something, where I was rehearsing as the lead artist for example, Eleni Furera with Fuego. So I learned her choreography. Of course, I had to sing as well and did the staging rehearsals for her. So that then it's always being filmed, the standing rehearsals, and then they are being sent back to the creatives of that country in order to make adjustments. It's a very, very fun process to be in. And yeah, I had the best time doing that job.
What is that like, being the stand-in? And especially on something like Fuego, where the choreography is really complicated.
Yeah, for me back then, not knowing that I was going to have my own music one day, it was just combining those two worlds of mine that I have in me, the dancing and the singing, in a perfect way. So that just, it fit perfectly for me. And it was a lot of fun. It's so exciting also seeing all the behind the scenes. I mean, I think people think that, well, Eurovision, it only takes about maybe a month to prepare a show like that. But after Eurovision is before Eurovision. So as soon as the last Eurovision ended, you already start preparing for the next one. And therefore, the stand-in process is very important. And it takes about 2 months, 2 to 3 months to do everything that's just a part of that. Getting the camera scripts in, getting the lights right, the content, then the costumes. And it's just so nice to experience that love to detail within the production.
But you weren't just Eleni, you were other people as well.
Yeah. I was also... What was your name? Sara Aalto.
Oh, for Finland.
Finland, yes.
Did you have to go around on the board?
No, I was too tall. I couldn't fit in there because she's smaller than me. So I just stood there, pretending to be upside down. But then I also fell down in the end from the prop. That was great. I did Lithuania. I did One World.
Yeah.
I did Belgium. That year.
Who was Belgium that year? I'm trying to remember. Was it Senek? I think it was Senek, a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I did that. I was also meant to do, but then it just collided with another stand in Australia. I learned the choreography as well to We Got Love.
Amazing.
Yeah, I really, really loved that one as well. I also did Slovenia. So Hvala ne, I learned the words, although I don't understand a word, but I learned them. It's a lot of fun, really.
That is amazing that you had to learn all of those different countries, which are all so different.
Yeah.
And it's a really important process for the artists that then go and perform. So I assume someone's going to have to stand in for you this year.
Yeah, definitely. And people are joking that maybe Eleni's gonna do my stand-in now.
Can you imagine?
That was hilarious when I saw that. Whoever came up with that, very, very creative.
Did it give you the bug at that moment that you wanted to one day be on the stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So I still remember when I did Finland. I think it was the second run we did that day, right before the high note. I remember, wow. There was something happening in my head. I can still remember where I was looking while being on the stage. And there was something that just clicked. And I had so much fun. I enjoyed it so much that I felt like, wow, it doesn't feel like work at all. It just feels like it's supposed to be. And then maybe that helped with me getting the confidence to actually say, I want to be an artist. I want to have my own songs. I want to be there one day. And it just makes me so, so grateful that now I can sit here and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
This exact moment. Yeah.
And then you've been at other Eurovisions as well as a coach as well?
Yeah, so I was involved a lot last year as a stage coach. I work with Brunette. I work with Tay and Selena, of course. I work with Lord of the Lost, working on camera scripts and stuff with Iru as well. Eurovision is just so great because you have so many people working with the same love to the project. Yeah. And just being a part of that and experiencing everything from behind the scenes has been amazing, yeah.
Versatility as well, to go from Brunette to Lord of the Lost. That is two opposite ends of the musical spectrum, that.
That's true, yeah. But the funny thing is also then, although there are so many different colors to each performance at Eurovision, the process is kind of the same because everyone needs a camera script, everyone needs content, everyone needs lights. And then you just try to feel yourself into the story of the specific song that you're working with. And then things just start to come together, yeah.
So here's the question. If you've been involved in all the processes this year, how happy are you to allow other people to suggest things for you? Because you're normally the one making the suggestions.
Yeah, well, it's a process for me. I definitely do enjoy now having a team around me and also having this team grow more and more. Because being alone, making all of those decisions, also being alone, trying to get this perfect choreography for a song that just means so much to you, I do put a lot of pressure on myself with that. And so being able to trust somebody else, that means a lot to me. But still, I am very, very involved in the process. And I think I do have very specific ideas that I want to happen. And then maybe with others, someone has a better idea, I get inspired, we all get inspired. Maybe my idea wasn't that good after all. So I think it's just a really flexible process, all of that, yeah.
What are some of your favorite rave anthems of all time? You must have a few.
Rave anthems, well, the rave Colleen is pretty new to me. So I feel like I'm coming more from that Barbie pop, what I like to call it sometimes, that really a commercial radio pop. But I think...
So you're in your rave Colleen era now.
Exactly, yeah. I'm really experiencing her and letting her out in all the possible ways. So I feel like a rave song, but then in my definition of rave, and that's totally not a rave song, would be Can't Take My Eyes Off of You.
Okay, fine.
That's my overall favorite song. And yeah, in my definition, I can just let go and enjoy the moment. And for me, that's raving as well. It doesn't always have to do with a dark club, strobing lights, maybe being drunk, maybe doing drugs. I think it's just however you feel like the most comfortable in that moment where you just get lost to whatever music it is.
So you don't have to be in the Berghain in Germany. You can be like anywhere, basically.
Exactly. You can be at Eurovision. I think that's also a new-ish thing to rave at Eurovision, maybe. And because we haven't had like those strobo songs that really go techno. So I do feel like we will just rave anywhere we go now. Maybe, yeah, have this more open approach to raving as well.
I was thinking of some good rave anthems from Eurovision. I think definitely Euphoria by Loreen is one of them. I think actually the one I'd say is up there is Goe Shum by Ukraine from Rotterdam as well, because I remember when that went off, everyone was just like jumping about. And I think We Are Domi, Lights Off, that is a good rave song. So every year you need that endorphin boost at least once in the contest.
I think totally that's what Eurovision is about, to just... be in the audience, maybe not even care about who's up there. You just have something that clicks within you. There's something happening chemistry-wise where you forget everything and you just jump, because the community is so great. That's what I experienced it in the audience. I think even though you might not know the language of the person, like the language the person speaks who's standing next to you, but still you have that... that great moment together, and you create those memories. And I think that's what's so nice about Eurovision.
So when you pack up your bags to go from Vienna to Malmö, what are your Austrian essentials that will be in your suitcase?
well, Austrian essentials, I can't take tap water with me, although I love it a lot, and my ravers do know that.
You love tap water?
Well, just water in general. And when I'm in Austria, I only drink tap water.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm always in the restaurant. It's the first thing I order, a big glass of tap water.
Okay. Is Austrian water special?
I think it's just very good quality. Okay. I don't know if it's special. I'm sure there are special water somewhere else in the world as well. But we do have very good quality tap water. And that's a very interesting conversation.
I know, right? Everyone is going to be fascinated by this. Colleen is just bringing loads of tap water. But, you know, stay hydrated. It's important.
That's important. Yeah.
You know, it's a very special anniversary for Austria this year as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. I've heard statistics and theories and everything. Yeah. It is
10 years since Conchita Wurst won with Rise Like a Phoenix, which everyone listening will know is one of the most iconic performances of all time. Can you remember seeing that originally? Can you remember watching Eurovision when Austria won?
Actually, and that's maybe, it's not a secret, but it's just I didn't actually watch Eurovision back then.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was really, really late to the whole Eurovision party because the first Eurovision I've been to and that I watched in the arena was 2016 in Stockholm. Yep. And before that, I wasn't really aware of it being what it is. So I do remember being at a world championship when Eurovision was where Conchita won. And I had the option of staying in the hotel room with my roommate watching Eurovision because she said, it's happening and we should watch it. Or going to that party at the World Championships. And I decided to go to the party.
No way. Yeah. You missed a historic night for Austria.
I know, I did. And of course, I do feel bad about it. But also my life was just somewhere else back then. And I'm so glad that now I found my way into this Eurovision thing because now I just cannot imagine my life without it anymore. And I think that's also what a lot of fans and a lot of people in the community and also probably everyone who's worked with Eurovision before agrees on, that once you've been involved with Eurovision, you just cannot go without it anymore. You will watch it every year. You will get involved every year. You find your favorite songs. You will probably be able to sing along to most of the songs. It's just such a phenomenon in the universe, I think.
What were the World Championships?
It was for musical and show dance. So I had a couple of solos, a couple of group numbers, and I think, almost every category, as I always did. So lyrical, jazz, contemporary, commercial, blah, blah, blah.
Did you win?
I think I won that year with, one of my solos, yeah.
So you are a world champion dancer.
I am.
Just let's not be humble. That is pretty impressive.
Thank you very much. Yeah, although I do feel like, that there are just so many world championships in the field of dancing because it's just so versatile. But it was definitely a big one for me and I'm proud of that, yeah.
So today is such a big day because we are in a dance studio. The choreo is beginning for We Will Rave. Have you already got ideas in your head?
I definitely had ideas in my head. I think that's something that is connecting my inner dancer with my inner singer always. When I hear a song, I always think of, okay, yeah, you could do that. You could do those steps. You could, or just energies or images. It's very interesting, but also that can be very hard to translate to someone else if you want to breathe them. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to feel like. So it's all a very interesting process. Yeah.
It's going to be so, you know how intense it's going to be because you've been there, but from the other side of the other side of the camera, this time you're front and center.
Yeah, that's crazy. I actually find myself sometimes in meetings where we do talk about costumes or pre-parties and then I realize, we're talking about me and not about someone else. It's very interesting. And I think I'm still settling into that. But like I said, it's just a dream come true. And also I do know that it goes by so fast. Already the last month. I think it's only been a month since we shot the music video and it feels like half a year already, although it went by so fast. So it's very weird. You get a multidimensional feeling of time when you do Eurovision.
We're going to look forward to the pre-parties. We're going to look forward to how We Will Rave is going to be staged. I'm so intrigued after seeing the video. It's going to be something big. I know that. Thank you so much for joining us on the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I'm really, really excited to experience this journey with all of you together.
What is the German word for rave?
Abfeiern.
Abfeiern.
Yeah, but I do feel like it's not, it's just not living up to the word that rave is actually, yeah.
We will abfeiern.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, no, let's stay with the English word. Because also I think in German, rave is just known everywhere probably. I don't know how it is in other languages, but I think rave is just this word that, yeah, is universal.
I'm going to go off and abfeiern.
I have a lot of fun with abfeiern.